What are we going to do with all of these churches who don't have pastors? It feels like we have thousands of churches across multiple denominations, no pastors. And are seminaries replacing them? And why are pastors leaving the pastorate? This is a conversation I want to have today. And not just, oh, how bad it is, but maybe there is a solution. And let's talk about that solution. I don't care if you're a man or a woman, if you're a businessman, a stay-home mom, or a pastor. This conversation's for you, because at the end of the day, we're all a part of the kingdom and we're all a part of ministry in our local churches. So stay tuned. Ever read the Bible and walk away feeling like you're failing? No matter how hard you try, you're never measuring up. That's not a motivation problem. That's a reading problem. Most people have never been taught how to read the Bible the way Jesus taught it. So when they hear things like be perfect, deny yourself, take up your cross, they assume it's all about trying harder. But what if that's not what Jesus was doing at all? What if the law isn't meant to fix you, but to reveal your need for a savior? And what if the gospel isn't advice, but an announcement of what Christ has already done for you? That's the difference between law and gospel. And once you see it, everything changes. Clarity, rest, and confidence. In the Bible According to Jesus, I show you how to read scripture the way Jesus intended, so you stop feeling crushed and confused and start living with confidence and rest in Christ. You can get your copy of the book at theocast.org. Thanks for joining us here at Theocast. I'm the host, John Moffitt. I'm the pastor of Grace Reformed Church in Spring Hill, Tennessee. Excited to be there. Lots of you coming and visiting us over the summer. So glad to meet you. Love my church. Yeah, been here for almost 9 years, so it's exciting to be here. And if you're new to Theocast, you can go to theocast.org, and you can learn more about all the books we have available. Enough in Christ, sorry, it's over there, is now available in paperback. You can go on Amazon or theocast.org to get that, along with the Bible According to Jesus. All right, I want to just jump into the topic, because this is one that matters to me a lot. What about men going into ministry and pastors leaving the ministry? You know, during COVID, it felt like everybody was leaving ministry. I know I even felt the pressure. There was just a lot going on during that time. Well, we're past that, several years past COVID. And those numbers just aren't the truth numbers. There were some pretty scary numbers. But when you look at the current studies, from what I can see, we have kind of the normal natural attrition that's happening, that's been happening for a long time, where you are having men just aging out of the pastorate. Sure, we have certain men that are leaving. Burnout, that's part of it. Scandal, that's part of it. But when we're looking at the majority of it, they said in 2000, the average age of a pastor was 50. And now the average age of a pastor is like 57, which means we're about to see larger numbers of men going into retirement or going into other ministries as they get older. And when you start talking and looking at the numbers of how many churches need pastors in the United States, that is the number that started to scare me. When I started to look at the SBC, and they put their numbers out, it's a lot of churches. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a part of the LCMS Lutheran denomination, and they have a large section of churches that need pastors as well. The numbers get, and I don't want to throw numbers out there because, you know, I don't want to get the numbers wrong, but they're staggering and they're sad. And I feel it too. Theocast gets contacted quite a bit asking, hey, do you have somebody that you could recommend for a pastor? How to congregate at a visitor at my church on Sunday. They were like, we need a pastor at our church. We have gone without a pastor for 2 years, and it's a large church. So it's not like they don't have the budget, excuse me, to bring somebody in. They do have the budget, but they just can't seem to find somebody. And this is common. And it breaks my heart, because to not have a shepherd leading a congregation is a really sad moment. When you realize there's thousands of churches that don't have pastors, it's heartbreaking. So let's talk a little bit about why that's a problem, because it wouldn't be a problem if you have guys replacing them, right? We have a bunch of young guys coming up like we did in the past years, large seminaries giving us large amounts of numbers of guys going into churches in all denominations. But that's not it. What's happening now? When you look at seminaries, they say that their numbers are up, but when you look at degrees, because that's how you know if a guy's going into ministry, the MDivs are down and they're continuing to decline. And so you have people who are working on a doctorate or working on a counseling degree. You have ladies who are going in there to get theological degrees, but you don't have men who are going in specifically for the pastorate getting an MDiv. And that becomes a problem. And then you have to stop and ask why. I think there's two reasons. They're not exciting, but I think these are the reasons. One of them is finances. You know, I've got three kids. One of them just graduated from college. I got one in a music school. I had one who was thinking about going to a college, and I can't afford on my income to pay for all these schools. So we were looking at it, and for this conservative Christian school in Chattanooga, well-known Reform, with the discounts would have been $104,000 over the 4 years. And I'm thinking, you know, that for a music degree is not a very wise decision. But then you have a guy who's going into ministry. If he can't get that paid for, or maybe he gets half of it paid for, and then he goes to seminary, that's another $30,000 to $50,000, depending on where you go. I mean, he's graduating with $100,000 plus debt going into, most likely, I mean, you're talking about a young guy at his first pastorate, so not going to be going into a large church with a large six-figure income. So his wife's probably going to have to work, and that's a stress. So the job's stressful. He's got debt, trying to build a family, trying to preach the gospel, and his wife is not even there to help at home. That's a hard. It's really, really hard. And, you know, my family went through this. Thankfully, my wife was able to work while I was in seminary, and we were able to pay off seminary and graduate debt-free. And so we didn't have that burden. And when we moved out here, the church paid us enough money so my wife didn't have to work, and she hasn't had to work for the entire time we've been out here. But that's not normal. Like, that's not the normal experience for a lot of people. And the church is notoriously, especially in the Baptist world, they don't always pay their pastors well. And so you've got a guy who's got seminary debt, who's trying to provide for his family, has probably a growing family, probably is going to have to pick up work on the side, and then his wife is working. That's really hard to stomach when you're thinking about going into ministry. Whether it's right or wrong, that's just where we're at. I know a lot of guys do bivocational. I have friends who do bivocational. They own coffee shops and this and that, and they're doing sales. And I was bivocational when I left the church that I was at to plant my church. I had to work multiple jobs because the church was just too small. We had 12 families. So, you know, almost 5 years, maybe more, I worked three jobs to provide. And I thought for a while that's how it was going to be. Like, I was just going to have to be bivocational as a small Reformed Baptist pastor. That's how it was going to be. I think that is deterring a lot of guys, realizing that, like, how am I going to provide for my family and just not absolutely swamp us and, you know, not be able to provide for my kids and not burn myself out in ministry because I don't have any money, so I got to do extra jobs. And I mean, these are legitimate questions that people have. And then on top of that, you just have where church culture has gone. You got pastors who are deconstructing, young men who are deconstructing, scandals, constant scandals. The office is always under suspicion because it seems like it's a power grab for certain guys, you know, certain personalities. And you're trying to bring guys into the ministry, and they're looking at guys who are burned out, angry, deconstructing, cheating on their wives. And they're thinking, is that the destination that I'm going to find myself in? Burned out, upset, angry, in a scandal. And that's been a lot of experiences of young men that are being involved in churches. And I think this is going to see the increase of mega churches because eventually churches are going to have to fold into other churches because they got to be shepherded somehow. And that doesn't mean it's not good because you got people who are going to be driving an hour, 2, 3 hours to go to church because there's just no church in the area. I know this sounds super doom and gloom, but I'm just projecting what that I think the next 10, 15 years is going to look like. You can do your own research and you can, you know, see what you think. But this is talking with a lot of pastors and seminaries and denominations. They're all feeling it. So what are we going to do about it? You know, there's a couple of downfalls. I think that, you know, seminary is costing so much That's a problem. School's costing so much. So get a guy across the line and I think prepared to go into ministry. And we could probably define what does it mean to be prepared. And does a guy have to have a seminary degree in order to be prepared to go? And it depends on who you ask. It depends what denomination that you're in. What does it mean to be equipped? You know, what does he need to be capable of doing? Seminaries weren't a thing back in the New Testament in the early churches. So, you know, we don't have necessarily a model for us to follow. So how are we going to handle that? I know there are a lot of Reformed Baptist schools and just schools in general that offer online educations for pastors so they can study in their own church and then have a degree. I think it's great and it's not really expensive and I'm really thankful for it. And we have utilized it for multiple men in our congregation in the past where they have sought to want to go to seminary and we've tried to, well, we do, we partner with the seminary and it gives them a massive discount where sometimes they just have to pay for the books in order to go to class and they can get an MDiv, which is crazy to think that you can get an MDiv online now. Which a lot of seminaries just didn't want to do. They wanted to make sure it was the brick and mortar. Everybody was in person. All right, I want to skip some of the data around it and talk about what can we do. Well, first of all, I think the preaching in our congregation, and you know, I can only speak to what I know, what I'm around. I do pay attention to quite a bit. I have friends that are in all fields, you know, that are Lutheran, Presbyterian, Reformed, not Reformed, you know, charismatic. I have friends that are in kind of all the different camps. And as I talk to them about their churches and the denominations that they're in, they can feel this as well. And I asked them, what are you doing to train men to go into ministry? Like what, how are you encouraging guys to see if they're gifted and that God is calling them to do this? And some do have great programs, but most don't. And I'm not digging on them. I think it's just what we've been handed, right? We just, we tend to do what's been given over to us. You have a lot of churches that have money. They could actually pay for the entire degree of a man, multiple men. I mean, these churches have, you know, millions and millions of budgets, dollars in budget, but they're building an empire. You know, they got it. That money's got to flow back into the empire because it's just not about church planning. It's about just building bigger and bigger campuses. And we're not developing pastors, we're developing campus pastors, which, you know, that's a whole other conversation. But if we don't start developing pastors, these small little rural churches, they're just not going to, even if they have to be bivocational, that's okay. Some guys are fine with that. They're going to have a business and shepherd people. How are we training the next generation? I know there are people who have means who listen to this podcast, and it's a conversation to be had. Like, maybe there needs to be a fund to help guys graduate seminary, whether it's online or they go to a famous, well, you know, there's some great seminaries out there that teach law gospel. They are going to emphasize expository preaching. They're going to teach them Christ and all of scripture. And, you know, imagine if we could give a guy a full ride, you know, and he can go right into ministry with no debt. That would be amazing. If we could do stuff like that, where the kingdom of God gathers together and we pull our resources together and we start preparing men to not only pastor churches that are already planted, but to plant new churches. We have a lot of churches that are being planted by pastors because the older churches are dying off because they're just so set in their ways and they don't want to change. And we have to do it our particular way, and that's fine. So it gets complicated because you got pastors who are planting churches and you have churches who need pastors, and revitalizing a church is not easy. It's very hard. I have friends who are doing it right now. I have not done it. I planted a church. I think I haven't done either, but from what I'm watching, I think planting might be easier than revitalizing. I don't know. I guess you could have to do both to find out. But this is the conversation that I want to have about what are we going to do next? Like, I want to talk to men who are listening to this. I don't care what age you are. You can go to ministry. I just preached a sermon on Sunday about Abraham being used by God at the end of his life. The end of his life. You know, Sarah is like, I'm barren. I can't have kids. And the children of Israel are birthed out of Abraham and Sarai. It's crazy, right? Like we don't have to put an age limit on what God would have for us and where we would go. We think that, you know, ministry is for young men. Maybe that needs to change. You got 10 years left in you. You got 5 years left in you. Go pastor a church. My brother-in-law's dad did this. I think it's amazing. You know, he retired from the corporate world and became a pastor because he had been trained in the past and has been pastoring for the last 5-6 years. It's been wonderful to watch and see and encouraging to think that, you know, I'm going to spend my retirement years in doing that. That's the conversation that I think it would be good to have, because we get so caught up in living the American dream, having enough money, retire, and then kind of going off into the sunset. And I'm not picking up where John Piper left off and, you know, criticizing people for picking up, you know, seashells by the sea. But I do want to start talking to the young men. If you're a young man, you're listening to Theocast, you're excited about theology, you need to start praying and asking God, Lord, give me wisdom. Go talk to godly men. Maybe I should consider ministry, whatever that ministry might be. But we need guys that are willing to participate in church full time, whether it's an associate pastor or music or a senior pastor. You may not be gifted, but you can find out, you know, find out. Let your church help you. Let them train you. There are men that I think are well gifted and can do it. And there are men that I've said, you know what? I think the Lord's going to use you in other ways. That doesn't mean that it's not important, it's not valuable, that you shouldn't participate in it. So I would start with it. Any young man, go to your pastor and say, hey, I think I'd like to have coffee with you and think about this. I don't know where I'm at. You know, even if you're 16, 15 years old, it doesn't matter how young you are. I started thinking about ministry when I was 16, 17 years old. I didn't want anything to do with it when I was younger. Everybody used to ask me, are you going to be a pastor like your dad? And I was like, no, I'm going to race dirt bikes. I'm going to be a supercross racer. That's all I cared about. And it was interesting how God continued to change my heart. And I asked myself, why am I fighting this? I do have a desire. I love teaching. I love doing ministry. I had opportunities to work in children's ministries and then work with youth. And I thought, okay, maybe this is something I want to be participating in. And I'm thankful that the Lord drew me in that direction. And then I had good godly men that were there to encourage me through that. So maybe it's good and healthy, pastors, as you're listening to me, it's good to call your men in the congregation, your young men, your husbands. Consider the calling, right? It's honorable, but it's not just because you have the desire to do it, you should do it. I think there's a process by which the elders should approve this, and they should examine the man's life, and does he meet the requirements, and is he gifted? But we're not replacing pastors, because I don't think we're not looking for them. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe everybody else is, and I'm the only one that feels like, you know, what, we need to be doing more. But in our congregation, in our church, that we're filling this burden. You know, we've already helped two pastors, or three actually, think through these things, mentor and train these guys. I've got several men that I've been working on and helping with throughout the years. And you know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. That's not really up to me. That's up to the Lord. But part of a pastoral's job, part of an elder's job, part of a church's job is to be training the next generation. As Paul says, that we need to be teaching young men to be in the way, in the word, so that they could be teaching the next generation of men as well. Now, I want to get a little bit more specific. I just don't want to see more pastors in pulpits because, well, frankly, a lot of pastors in pulpits aren't preaching the gospel. So I'm not just here hoping we get some more preachers out there. We need gospel preaching preachers. We need men who can rightly divide the word, who could divide the law from the gospel, break people's heart over the law and give them the gospel.
Do you ever wake up already feeling spiritually behind? Like no matter how much you pray, how much you read, or how much you serve, it's just never quite enough. Well, friend, you're not lazy and you're not faithless. You're tired and you're not alone. So many of us are living in a quiet prison, the one that whispers, grace saved you, but now it's up to you to keep it up. The one that turns rest into guilt. The one that makes you wonder if God is a little disappointed in you today. I wrote a new book just for you. It's called Enough in Christ, Freedom from a Performance-Driven Life. It's a book that takes you back to what Christ actually said from the cross, it is finished, and shows you how to stop living like there's still work for you to do. You can download the whole book free at theocast.org. Christ really is enough, and in him, so are you.
I'm more interested in getting men who are willing to not be ashamed of the gospel, to preach the supernatural nature of Christ's means of grace week in and week out, where the congregation believes that God's presence comes to them in word and sacrament, and that the fellowship of the word, the encouragement of the word, or the bond of the spirit is there, and we protect the spirit that is with us because of the supernatural nature in which it builds us up, as Ephesians 4 says, that when the body functions properly through the power of the Spirit, that whole chapter 4 of Ephesians, that we are built up in love. Like, we don't just need congregants who are being educated in the Word. We need them to be transformed by the power of the Spirit through the Word, to be liberated from legalism and pietism, to be liberated from the lies of the world, to be set free from the wrestling that we have, not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities that are coming after us. To start being a nation once again that goes back to global missions. We are becoming the mission field just because of how anti-gospel we have become. We have churches that are filled with no gospel messages. And I'm not here just to be critical, but man, if you're not hearing Christ for you week in and week out, that the sufficiency of Christ is what he has done for you, not what you're doing for him. That Abraham was righteous because of faith. And I preached this on Sunday, Genesis 11. That he was a moon worshiper. He was a pagan worshiper of multiplicity of gods. He worshiped most likely the god Nana, the sin god. That's who God chose. And because he chose him, pulled him out of his sin, made him a promise, and because Abraham believed that, he was accounted, he wasn't made righteous, he was declared, he was counted righteous. That's the kind of preaching that we need. Helping people understand the nature of the gospel is not a self-help manual that God has given you the opportunity to clean yourself up. It's kind of like, you know, being released from prison and saying, okay, I'll let you work off your debt. That's not the gospel. We've not been released from death so we can work off our debt. We have been released from death and been given life eternal, full of righteousness. That's the kind of preaching we need, right? So I'm at a point where it's like, I don't know who wants to partner with me, who wants to lock arms with me. We got a wonderful community, the Theocast community, with several pastors that are in there, more and more pastors who are joining. I want to encourage them. This is a conversation that I want to have with them. I want to do a conference call with pastors in there saying, hey, how do we encourage men to go into ministry in a really dark place right now where it's a lot of guys don't want to go into ministry? There are people who have means out there. How do we start a budget? Pay for guys to go to seminary. You know, vet them, bring them in. We need more guys in the ministry. And maybe, just maybe, I'll throw this out there. We need to rethink how guys are trained for ministry. Maybe we need to take it back from seminaries or partner with seminaries. The local church needs to be back involved in training men because that's how it was done in the early church. I love the fact that I can utilize online seminaries to develop and help guys learn languages and history and really be helped by other guys in the kingdom, good godly men in the kingdom who can help develop, but yet we have them serving and under accountability, and we can encourage their wives and prepare them and their families for ministry in a local congregation. And I get it. It's hard enough to try and pastor a church. And then you add on top of that training a man to go into ministry, but it's time to do something different. That's what we're called to. You know, and I feel weird at times. Like I do Theocast. I start, you know, a lot of people don't understand. I started Theocast. Well, I was a part of Theocast when it started when I was an associate pastor, and it's just developed over the years. And I've thought about, you know, whether I keep doing it or not. And it's been beneficial to my congregation, to my family. And when it stops being beneficial to my church and my family, then I'm going to move on and ask the Lord to maybe bring somebody else to take it over. But it's allowed us to, there's a lot of people in our congregation who have come here and are desiring ministry. I have men who are, I'm trying to set up conversations with right now because they want to talk about potentially moving out here so they can be trained into ministry. It's been a wonderful tool and a gift. And, you know, God's been using mediums for years. You know, John Calvin's writings and his books spread all over Geneva and all over the world at some points. And, you know, John, most people don't know this, but he was a prolific church planter, and a lot of the influence that came from his books. And so, you know, I'm really thankful. I know the same thing for a lot of men throughout church history who, you know, Charles Spurgeon had a pastor school, and his sermons were in the paper. And so God has used media for generations to help develop men and draw them into ministry. And I don't know if anybody is going to listen to this. I don't know if anybody's going to care. This is my second time recording it, because the first time I was stumbling because I was so nervous about, do people even care about this? There are businessmen out there who care. Let's talk. There are churches out there who care. Let's bind together. There are men who are ready or wanting or thinking about it. Let's talk. Like, why not just see what the Lord does? Like, what's the worst thing that could happen? Right? I mean, we could just keep doing what we're doing, and we're going to run out of pastors. Eventually, at some point, we're not going to have enough. Or we can start rethinking it. Pastors, let's start rethinking. How are we going to put men into the ministries? If you're in a denomination like the SBC or the PCA or LCMS, they have pathways for guys. You should utilize those. Utilize those pathways. They're discounted. That's great. But for churches who don't, maybe little smaller churches that aren't part of denominations, or maybe you're not excited about some of those seminaries. Maybe they've gone liberal. I don't know. I'm just at a point where something else has to be done, and I'm willing to participate in it, and I want to be a part of it. I'm excited to be a part of it. I want to see more guys. If you're interested in ministry, reach out. Let's start talking. Talk to your pastor first. If you're in a church that's not preaching the gospel and you need to relocate, let's talk about it. Let's get you a job out here. I don't know what the Lord is doing, but I want to do something, and I'm excited about it. And I want to see more guys go into ministry. I'd love us to start sending missionaries again over to other countries. I think that, and at one point, the United States was the dominant missionary program, and it's not anymore. You know, you have missionaries from other countries coming here. I've heard stories about it, and it's heartbreaking, because this is our country that, you know, that's a whole nother conversation I don't even want to get into. Well, if you're interested in helping do this, I don't know what the Lord's going to do with this episode. It may flop. No one's going to listen to it. That's fine. Or maybe the Lord will use it to reach out to the next guy who's ready to go into ministry. This needs to be encouraged. And you might say, I'm a nobody. I can't speak. I can't talk. Well, then that's great. Go read 1 Corinthians. God didn't choose the wise, the powerful, the wealthy, those who could speak well. I have a learning disability. I stumble and bumble. I just trust that the Lord will use me, and I keep standing, talking behind a microphone, and people keep listening. I often wonder why. Don't let whatever lack of skills you have, lack of education, whatever you think may hinder you. Let's just see what the Lord may have for you. You just never know. And maybe you don't end up as a senior pastor, but that doesn't mean you can't end up in ministry somewhere. We need to encourage people to go into ministry. It's good work, but it's not the only work. I also need guys to go into business. You know, Lydia helped a lot of people, helped the church out a lot because of her business. I'm all for guys going into business. You may not be gifted. You may not be called into ministry. Great. Then use your money for the kingdom as much as you can. Like, we have to become kingdom minded. We are kingdom of priests. Our job is to be ambassadors for the king in a foreign country. This is not our home. This isn't it. We're not going to stay here. The king is coming back. He's bringing the new world with him. That's our home. And so we live as aliens, and we live representing the king. And so we need those who are going to be preachers and teachers, and we need those who are going to be evangelists, and then we need those who can fund the church. The church is funded by its congregants. We pool our resources together so that the advancement of the gospel can go out. So yeah, we need guys to have good jobs, be faithful. Not everybody needs to be super wealthy. I know some guys have these ambitions. It's all like, oh, I'm gonna be a multimillionaire so I can give money to the church. Well, if you're not giving money to the church now, I can promise you when you're a multimillionaire, you're not going to give money to the church. I can't tell you how many guys I've met that have done that. They think in themselves like, well, once I hit 1 million or once I hit 2 million or once I hit whatever number you want to hit, and then I'll give money to the church. But like, if you're not giving now, what makes you think you're going to give then? Like, there's something in the heart that's off. Be generous now, right? And if the Lord chooses to bless and your business does well, great. And for those of you that have means and want to partner, great. You don't have to partner with me. Give money to a seminary. Give it to a denomination. Whatever you're a part of. Let's be moving the kingdom forward because that's how God's designed it. God does not need us. He could have used his angels to proclaim the gospel. They would probably do a better job. He doesn't need the church, but he chose the church. And he chose me, a broken man, to shepherd a congregation. To stand behind a microphone. I don't know why he did that, but that's what for his honor and glory. And I'm thankful for it. I have no reason to boast in anything that I've ever done. I haven't saved myself. I haven't sanctified myself. I am not spirit driving myself. The Spirit's driving me. Everything that has happened to me in my life that he gets the honor and glory. So if you're sitting over thinking like, I just want to be like John. Well, the only thing you need to be like me is a broken sinner. That trust God. That's it. A broken sinner, trust God. You want to be like me, as Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Just trust in Christ. Get your mind, as it says, set your mind on things above where Christ is seated. Like that, get your mind off of the world, building worldly ambitions. Let's stop thinking about how to improve ourselves. And let's think to ourselves, how do we rescue people out of the kingdom of darkness, disciple them, train them, and give them hope as they die? I have such a diverse church right now where I have people who are at the end of their life and I have people who are just born. And the people who are born, I'm discipling. The people who are about to die, I am holding their hand and watching them slip into glory. And I'm giving them hope while they do that so they don't have to be alone. That's what the whole kingdom is about. The kingdom of God is giving people dignity as they die and giving them hope and teaching the next generation to do the same thing. Like, I need these children, these little children that I'm training, and their mom and dad are training them. I need them to be the next generation that helps me go into glory. That's part of how the kingdom works until God's done rescuing. So remember, this is a rescue mission where we rescue and train and rescue and train, and then we go home and we wait to come to the new kingdom. So we need more guys training so we could go more, do more rescue. So where do you want to be a part of? Where's God putting you? If I can be of help, reach out. Not a super long episode, long enough. And I hope this is encouraging to you. And theocast.org, there's a contact form there. And reach out. Let's start a conversation. All right, we'll see you.
Hey guys, real quick. Some of you are listening to this and it's encouraging to you, but you have questions. So where do you go? How do you interact with other people who have the same questions and share resources? We have started something called the Theocast Community, and we're excited because not only is it a place for you to connect with other like-minded believers, all of our resources are there, past podcasts, education materials, articles, all of it's there, and you can share it and ask questions. You can go check it out. The link is in the description below.